Hello, this is Rebecca Geyer, author of Smart Marketing for Engineers, an inbound marketing guide to reaching technical audiences. And you are listening to Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails with Bacardi in my drink.
Hello and welcome to this hopefully short-lived series that will be airing in addition to the weekly Marketing Book podcast interviews. I'm your host, Douglas Burdett, and my goal during this unusual time is to reconnect you with past guests on the Marketing Book podcast, share some ideas and inspiration, and maybe a much-needed laugh or two. I've interviewed over 200 authors on the show, and my plan is to continue this series until I either run out of authors or quarantine, whichever comes first. A word of warning, the host and guest may very likely be drinking cocktails during these conversations. I mean, come on. They are recorded during the cocktail hour. To find the show notes for each episode with pictures of each guest and links mentioned in their conversation, visit marketingbookcocktails.com. Marketingbookcocktails.com. See what I did there? And if you'd like to join the conversation, email a voice recording to me at douglas@salesartillery.com, and I'll try to include it in a future episode. I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, connect with me on LinkedIn where we can chat. Rebecca Geyer, welcome to Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Douglas. Thanks for having me.
So what is going on in your quarantined world?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? I feel like I've been I'm busier than ever. I am starting a new job and writing a couple of books and all kinds of things that we can go into. But it's actually been a very busy 2020 for me.
And now, where are you? You're in are you in Austin?
Yeah, Austin, Texas, where it's really hot. Although we got some rain this week, which was good.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. Well, now you were on episode 147, and this week I think I published episode 285. So back in November of 2017. So for new listeners to the Marketing Book Podcast, introduce yourself and tell folks who you are and what the heck you do.
Thank you. Yeah, I am. So my name's Rebecca Geyer. I have been marketing to engineers for coming up on about 30 years. I've been on and led internal teams doing it. I've started companies who focus on it. I've consulted and coached leaders who are responsible for marketing and sales to engineers and really technical audiences. I wrote a DIY book for engineers to learn about modern inbound and content marketing. That's actually what led me to be an honored guest on your show.
Oh, stop it.
I can't believe it's been 3 years. Anyway, and I am now co-authoring a university textbook that we think will be the first research-based text on content marketing for university-focused market. So for students, really the next generation. I've had several of your regular guests, Joe Polizzi, Robert Rose, Adele Ravella, others have all helped provide material and insights, and we're hoping to finish it up later this year. So, and I guess the most recent title to add to my my list is I decided to dust off the practitioner gloves and get back in the ring, and I just joined a few founders of a software startup in the chemical industry as CMO. So helping
congratulations.
To build. Thank you. Yeah.
Building now that's kind of breaking news, isn't it?
It is a little bit of breaking news. Yeah. And actually we posted it on LinkedIn a couple weeks ago, but we had to be a little bit stealth because the website wasn't live yet. But I think that by the time this publishes, the website will be live, or I'm going to either jump off a cliff or be a full-on alcoholic by then.
Well, I can help with both. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, it's called, the company's called ChemVM. So chemical virtual marketplace, and chemvm.com is the website. So yeah, it's been a really busy 2020. I've also been talking to some folks over at Texas A&M about maybe joining the faculty there, which is a dream of mine, and it wouldn't be for another year or so, but we'll see where that goes. So
would you go to College Station to teach, or?
Partly. It's a mix. It's mostly online. It's a professional engineering management master's program, and they're trying to fill the gap in the area of communications. And so, that would be a real dream. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. We're just in the early conversations, but it's been a very busy 2020 for me.
Wow. Now, we should back up a bit and explain that for, I guess, about 10 years, you were the co-founder, co-owner of True Marketing in Austin, along with Wendy Covey. And Wendy is still there, holding down the fort. And I believe I heard that she's working on a book. And I think I even pointed her in the direction of the publisher that she hired, which is also in Austin, Greenleaf Publishing. Tanya Hall is the CEO. And I interviewed Tanya about her book a while back on publishing a nonfiction book called Ideas, Influence, and Income. Terrific, terrific book. What is Wendy's book going to be about? Is it about content marketing, I think?
It is out. It is on the market. And any of your listeners that are interested in content marketing across the board, but in particular in the engineering space, can go check it out and certainly go to truemarketing.com and look for it. But it's already out. She worked really hard, and I know the team supported her immensely in getting that out. And so,
I see here it is. It's called Content Marketing Engineered. Build trust and convert buyers with technical content. Well, you know, I spoke to her. I got her pointed to the publisher. I guess, I'm kind of old news. Just kidding. Hopefully she'll let, I'll get a copy of that at some point. That's right up my alley, just like your book, Smart Marketing for Engineers. So we should go back a little bit and talk about us. And, so it's because I'm pretty sure Carl Sakis, who's an ad agency consultant who you may have met, you may know him.
I think his name sounds familiar.
Well, here's why it sounds familiar. Hit you at Content Marketing World, I guess, in 2017. And I was there. He was going to be moderating the influencer marketing track with all these different speakers, including Lee Oden. And just before it started, the Content Marketing World contacted me and said, Douglas, Carl Sakis is in the hospital with appendicitis.
Oh,
he can't make it. And we've got to do something, and you're going to help us do something. It was for the agency track. They have a whole section for agency folks. So
they turned to me and I said, all starting to come back.
Yes. So they
in
said
my little cobwebs of my old memory.
That's right. So it was only three something years ago. So I communicated with Carl and I just said, Carl, I'm not going to do your thing. I've seen him talk before and we're friends. And I just said, this needs to be you. You need to come back next year and do it. So we got our heads together and we said, why don't we do an agency panel discussion? So that's when we got, I think it was
Paul Roetzer,
who wrote the Marketing Agency Blueprint, as well as the Marketing Performance Blueprint, which I got to interview him for the Marketing Book podcast. And now he's gone on to start this AI for Marketing Institute, the PR 2020 in Cleveland. And we had, and somebody said, oh, we got to get Rebecca Geyer. She's got an agency. She can talk about these things. And then Brody Dorland, who had an agency, and then he started a software firm. And I apologize, Brody, you're going to kill me. I can't recall the name of it, but I'm going to include a link to your firm in your episode's show notes at marketingbookcocktails.com. So what we did is we got them all together, and that's when I met you. And
forgot that's where we met.
It was a panel discussion.
I
was able to, we had a lot of things we wanted to talk about, and it was really rather well attended. And I was able to bring out some of my best stand-up comedy.
You did. Great. That.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot of fun. And I knew who you were. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I knew about your book. I knew about your firm. We were both sort of in the HubSpot ecosystem.
Yeah. And in manufacturing. We're both in kind of serving the manufacturing space. Yep.
Right. And so I met you and I said, I'm going to go buy your book because your book was being sold at the bookstore there.
Uh-huh.
And I said, boy, I'd really like to get you to sign it, but I got to catch a flight. And you said, I'm coming with you. I'm going to sign it right there. And I thought, man. And so then I read it on the way back, and I thought, oh wow, is this too specific for the marketing book podcast audience? And I read it, and I thought, nonsense. I loved the way you explained it, and then I had many people. So, in other words, a lot of it applied to everyone, but it was very interesting just because of my own interest in manufacturing, industrial kind of companies, similar audiences. I loved it. And I've quoted it, and it's on a small stack of books that I keep on the table behind my desk because I refer back to you and Bruce McDuffie, author of The New Way to Market for Manufacturing, and a couple others that I found really helpful for talking very, very specifically about that space. Although the truth is, there's a lot of aspects of marketing that apply to engineers or technical audiences that apply to everyone, but it's helpful for them to understand that there's other people in their space that are like that. And there was research in your book that talks specifically about that. And one of the things that really surprised me from your book was this notion that most people will only look at the first page of Google for results. And that's why the joke is the best place to hide a dead body is on the second page of Google results. But engineers will go to the 10th page. They will keep going. I thought that was so, so interesting.
Yeah, it's really remarkable to me. There were two experiences that I had that led me to ask that question on the research that we did. And the first one was I was actually driving my husband to the airport one morning early, and I was thinking about this research, and I said to Tim, Tim, I have a question. And he's a very technically minded person in the engineering space. And I said, when you're on Google and you're searching for, transformer replacement or something that he does. And I said, tell me about how you search. And anyway, long story short, he basically explain that he doesn't believe anything that he sees on the first page, if not the first couple of pages. And so that was pretty interesting. And that he will relentlessly search he'll keep changing the keywords until he starts to see results that are in the realm of what he's looking for. And then he'll go really deep in order to find what he needs. And I had a similar experience in my own work back at a company that I worked at called National Instruments. The CEO there was a PhD electrical engineer, and he was known for doing searches on Google for the next component that would be on a product that they were working on, 2 years out. And so he would just be relentlessly looking on Linear Tech or Analog Devices or whatever, Xilinx or whatever the site might be, to try and find exactly what he was looking for. And so I had this empirical experience that technically minded people would go really deep. And so that's what led me to ask the question. And then I found, we did the research, and I believe True Marketing is continuing to do the research every year with different partners. IEEE Global Spec was one of our more recent partners. And we had hundreds of engineers that responded to our survey. And yeah, it's like the vast majority will go 3 to 4 pages, but actually it was in one study, it was 2% more engineers said they would go like 5 or 6 pages or even 10 pages deep than would go to the first page. And it just really, it was really cool to go into the research having a hypothesis and then actually having the data really prove it out. And all the speaking I did, for years with engineers as I launched the book and was helping to drive business for True, I would be in these rooms full of engineers and I would show that data and then I would ask them. And they just constantly were confirming the data. That's exactly how they search. So very skeptical, group of people that not only are they skeptical, but they also are solving very critical applications, medical or transportation, or, they're working in the aerospace, area. And they just can't, there's not a whole lot of room for error.
Yeah.
And,
And there was a book on the show a while back by, I know, a very controversial author named Scott Adams, the Dilbert creator, and it was a book called Loser Think. And he was explaining in the book all the different ways the different types of people think based on their training. So he talked about how lawyers think, and he talked about scientists and engineers. Mm-hmm. And it was more of an observation than criticism, but he's just explaining the way different people are trained to think. And what you're describing that right there is very much what he talked about in terms of wanting the data and being skeptical and, you know, very, very scientific, which, you know, mm-hmm. they are. So,
yeah.
But let's get back to Rebecca Geyer. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Enough about these books.
I was going to say, what a crazy, you know, kind of road down memory lane, because with Content Marketing World, because then a couple years later, we ended up teaching a class together.
I think it was the very next one. You did a workshop.
That's right. It was 2018.
For engineers and manufacturing uh-huh. companies. And it was pretty much an all-day thing. And I got to help you. And you had a great panel discussion. And we talked about, I did a big thing on pillar pages. And I really, really enjoyed that. That was great fun. I love Content Marketing World. It's such a terrific, terrific event.
Yeah, it is. We're supposed to speak there this fall, my co-author and I, of the textbook, but I don't know what they're going to do there. So I'm just kind of waiting to see.
Now, is your textbook for technical and engineering folks, or is it more just content marketing being taught at university level?
Yeah, it's a good question. So there's a couple of different readers of that, but primarily it's for undergraduate or graduate level technical communicators. So people who are getting a degree in technical communications who are planning to go into a field of, I mean, it's really content marketing for technical industries at the end of the day. So it's really, it would be, you know, probably an elective kind of class that they would take to get the sense of content marketing holistically. We have a whole front matter section of the book that is everything that a content marketer needs to know about marketing, just more, you know, kind of bigger picture, branding, mm-hmm. product positioning, marketing planning, all of those really personas. That's where Adele was super helpful.
Mm-hmm. But Adele Ravel is the author of one of my favorite books, Buyer Personas.
Buyer Personas, mm-hmm. yeah. So I interviewed her and she provided me with some really great examples that we'll be citing in the textbook. So you know, that whole the front matter, but then the second part of the book is all of the best practices for creating content for technical markets. For instance, case studies, or I just finished this chapter, just, it was very intense. It took me about 3 months to write it, and it's on the peso model, but in particular on earned and owned media and writing for earned media, which really, you know, a blog is a great example, or sorry, owned media. A great example is, you know, your blog or your website. Anyway, the whole peso model, but there was a lot of work to put that chapter together. So hopefully it's a reference, you know, for people who are, you know, they're coming out of undergrad or more likely grad school, and they need that marketing context, but then they're going to go into a content producing kind of role. So that's what it is. So we'll
cool.
see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, it's enough with the
so
book.
Much harder.
Let's get back to Rebecca Geyer. You said you might be teaching at Texas A&M. Is that because your son is going to be a sophomore there next year?
Yeah, so Cooper, actually, he's going to be a junior.
Oh, that's right. He was at, where was he, Galveston the first year?
He was Galveston the first year, okay. And then he made it over to the big campus sophomore year. And
joined the Corps of Cadets.
Yeah, so he is in the Corps, and you'll appreciate, because you're a military undergrad guy, that military school.
Right.
That they have all these milestones that mean absolutely nothing to the non-core person, but Cooper is very excited because he gets to wear a white belt junior year, which means that he's not an underclassman. It means that he's an upperclassman.
Ah.
So, and he got some pins for good grades, and yeah, he's very excited. We actually had some pretty cool news. It came timely around Memorial Day that he actually got a call from one of the leaders of the Air Force, cadre there at Texas A&M, that that he was selected among about 20 or selected with along with 20 others among about, I don't know, out of hundreds, I don't know what the number was, but he was selected to go to officer field training. So he's pretty excited. He'll be going next summer to go to officer field training. So we're not really sure where. We're still waiting for a lot of the details. He'll have a busy summer next summer because he'll go to officer field training, and then he's taking Arabic, and his dream is to be an intelligence officer in the Air Force. Uh-huh. And so he's doing an intensive Arabic program in Morocco next summer. So we're kind of enjoying over the pandemic having him home a little bit, because we think that probably after, you know, he heads back to school, we're not going to see him a whole lot for the foreseeable future. So
yes, but if he is in the Air Force, he may end up in San Antonio at some point, which is not too far from Austin.
I know. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Now your daughter is a nurse in San Antonio, right?
She is.
What's been going on with her? And I'm sure you must have been worrying about her during all this pandemic.
You know, luckily for people who know me well, they know that I'm not a big worrier. So I'm thankful for that. That's not my default to go into worry mode. And in fact, sometimes I probably should be worried when I'm not. So I tend to be a little bit late to the game on when to worry. But yeah, she's an ICU nurse, but she actually is at a military hospital there in San Antonio, but she hasn't been in a COVID unit. So up to this point, she hasn't been too affected. But interestingly, just this last weekend, she was rotated into a COVID unit, and she actually was taking care of a couple of COVID patients. And, you know, it's interesting. Molly always wins the best stories at the dinner table, you know, game. Being an ICU nurse and being a marketer, and my husband, you know, being a facilities engineer, and then Cooper, you know, we don't probably want to hear his stories in college, but she usually wins the stories with her hospital stories. But she did, you know, just share last weekend that it was pretty eye-opening for her. She had a patient that came in that was pretty much standing on their own, describing their symptoms, and within a matter of a handful of hours was coding and going on life support. And, you know, you never know all the details of underlying conditions and other things that were going on. But, you know, most of the stories that we hear are people that get, you know, that contract the virus, that they're dealing with symptoms, but they're able to stay home and quarantine. But, you know, every now and then you hear a story like that, and to have heard it from Molly directly was a little bit unsettling. But I also am really proud of her for, you know, for being in a caregiving role. And she's got a heart of gold, and she's a science nerd and loves to study. And in fact, she's just getting ready to start grad school herself. So, yeah.
Well, good. Well, you probably, it sounds like you've raised some pretty independent kids. So maybe not worrying too much, you know, is what may be doing the trick. But
well, I don't know.
You're a pretty good mom too, from what I've seen. So
we got very blessed. We did what we thought was best, but yeah, the kids are, we couldn't be more proud, truly. They're great kids. So yeah. They have hearts of gold. And
well, from a marketing standpoint, or a business standpoint, is there anything that's happened in this quarantine that's really surprised you or gotten your attention?
You know, there's a few things. As I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about my own experience in particular, in this time of the pandemic, and also as I dust off my gloves and kind of get back in the ring and take on this executive CMO role, you know, what I have found is that it's just a phenomenal time for learning. And I have a little story I'll tell that is actually related to your show. So, you know, I'm amazed at the authors that you get on your show and the talent and the knowledge that they have and their willingness to share, you know, and help other people. And so, you know, so my story is, here I am, I'm in this new CMO role. I've been doing marketing for God knows how long. You know, you'd think I could do this by now. But I was at this point where, in particular, it was time to start thinking about content And for God's sake, I'm writing a textbook on it. Surely I can do this. But I just was drawing a blank on content topics. And I think it was because it's a brand new company. For God's sake, we don't even have a customer flyer or a blog, much or a website. You
but
know,
you better have until, that website up by June 30th when this publishes. Yeah. There, now you got a goal.
That's right. But I just hit a block. I just could not figure out where to start. And I'm on my own, right? I'm doing everything. I am the department of one. So fast forward, it's a Saturday. I'm cooking some recipe I found on Instagram that's going to take me like 5 hours to cook it. And I thought, all right, well, you know, this is a great, now this is a normal time where I'd probably be out with friends or something else. But, you know, here I am, I'm at home, I'm cooking. And so I queued up some marketing book podcast episodes to listen to while I'm cooking.
And you were you having some wine while you were cooking?
Or Bacardi.
Oh, Bacardi, that's right. Your drink is Bacardi and Diet Coke.
That's right. Lime. Don't forget the lime. Yes.
Oh, and the lime. Yes. In your Patrick Mahomes cup.
That's right. I'm in my picture. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Please let there be football this fall. Right. Anyway,
he's a quarterback with the Kansas City Chiefs for all you
yes,
folks that are
and
not
a Texas
following.
Tech and a Texas Tech boy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he's a Texas boy. But anyway, so I'm cooking and I queue up my podcast. And the first episode is your interview with Melanie Diesel, who wrote Content Fuel. And long story short, by the time the podcast was over, I have sticky notes all over my countertop filled. This is no joke. Filled with content ideas for our chemical audience. Now, these are people that are their people or companies that are making, they're making industrial chemical products, or they're manufacturers, formulators, blenders who are helping get these products to market. So I'm just completely hitting a blank. And then I listen to Melanie's interview and I have all these ideas. And so, I ended up reaching out to Melanie on LinkedIn. We chatted a little bit over email. I have her book now, which she graciously sent to me. I'm going to try to include it in my textbook. So this is what you did. Like you connected us through your effort. And I just think like, what a great reminder to all of us. Number one, that no matter how long you do this craft, there is always so much to learn from other people and you're going to hit roadblocks. We all do. And if you're like me, a team of one, you've got to lean on other resources to try to help you get over, you know, that hump. And especially in this pandemic, when I can't just say, hey guys, you know, my Austin marketing peeps, hey guys, let's go, you know, grab a drink and let's chat about, not that I would do this anyway, let's chat about my problem, you know, with content topics.
Let's have alcohol and talk
about
our problems.
Let's have some alcohol and talk about our problems. Yeah, our marketing problems or any problems.
Welcome
but
to
in
the
this
Marketing
case,
Book Podcast.
You know, it's what I call, it's like there's so many silver linings and that one was one for me. So, you know, but I think it's just a reminder of listening, growing, always learning, and that this time is giving us a unique opportunity to do that. And
that makes me really happy to know that you all have connected. And her book was her book is terrific.
It's awesome.
And you will have way too many content ideas after reading it. And it's really like a kind of like a multiplication table if you set it up on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something else. I've done coming up, I'm working towards 300 episodes. I think that was one of the very best interviews I've ever done. There was just something about it.
It was so good.
I loved her book.
Yeah.
And we really had a good rapport. And, you know, she has a great sense of humor. And she's, of course, a former journalist, which makes for a perfect content marketer.
It really does. And it really, yes, that practitioner being a journalist and going into PR content in particular is just such a great segue. And so as she was talking about that, it just made so much sense. Like, yeah, journalists have to, they have to come up with these ideas and they have to go into interviews with people that they don't know anything about their industry and they have to be ready to do that. So it even inspired me. I have a young writer that I've brought on to help us with some content and she's right out of college. That's my other tip for veteran practitioners. This is a great time to hire new college grads who are eager to to learn, and their parents are really eager for them to get a job.
Yes, my daughter just finished her senior year in college.
I remember that.
Right here at the house,
Yeah, right. So, you know, so that's one thing. Just, you know, take the opportunity to grow and learn. You know, another is, you know, at ChemVM, the founders started working on the company idea last year, and I joined them, you know, last fall. And then fast forward, here we are in, you know, the middle of March, and, you know, we're starting to, the economy is going into a level of uncertainty we haven't seen in generations, and everything's going on lockdown. And we just had this meeting, you know, this conference call, and because a couple of them are on the East Coast and a couple of us are here in Austin, and we just kind of had this heart to heart of, you know, how are you guys feeling? And what do you think about the company? And, you know, are we in? Do we think we need to pivot? And it was amazing. Like all of us, we all kind of paused, like, who's going to talk first? And then in the end, I mean, within seconds, we're like 100% in, or I would say even more than 100%. It's a great time to embrace change and challenge. And certain markets certainly are probably more, you know, more able to accept that. But, you know, here's a market, the chemical industry, that's pretty slow to change. They haven't benefited a whole lot from you know, newer technology. Like we've seen, like Airbnb in the travel market, or, you know, Angie's List with home services. It's similar to something that we're building with our company. And what better time could there be now to introduce digital efficiency in an analog and manual sales process of connecting chemical customers and service providers. So for us, we're actually seeing it as a start of creating an even bigger opportunity. And I think it's true for a lot of markets and a lot of companies.
Yeah, it reminds me of a concept I learned about when having cocktails with Tara Nicole Nelson, who's the author of The Transformational Consumer, which is one of my favorite books. And she talked about some research she had done, which revealed that a lot of people were secretly relieved by the change that's been brought on, not by the, you know, the sickness and the death and the loss of jobs, but for those that were able to hang on, she described this as the Great Reset. And suddenly everyone had an opportunity to rethink what they were doing at their business, in their role, in their life, and all that sort of thing. And so I'm encouraged by it, and I'm fascinated by the things that just aren't going to change. And I'll give you just one example. So since the pandemic started, and this will be one of the last authors in quarantine getting cocktails I do, unless the pandemic comes roaring back. But I have gone to the barbershop once not too long ago, and today...
I know. I saw your beard earlier.
Well, they won't... Dang. You have to wear a mask at the barbershop, but I did get a haircut because I was starting to look like Tom Hanks in Castaway. But, so I got the haircut, but today I actually went to the dentist, and it was 3 months after I was supposed to go because they had to keep pushing it back, and the place was just... Tighter than a tick, as they say in Texas, where it was so professional and sanitary, and all these steps they had taken, and they were all wearing masks, and it was just amazing. And the dentist came in after a while to check on the hygienist what she had done, and you know, we were kind of joking, saying, you know, there's certain things that are never going to change. And he said, yeah, and there's some things we should have always been doing, like these masks we're wearing. I hated as a dentist, and he's probably in his 70s at this point. He goes, I always hated how stuff was getting splashed all over my face. He goes, that's not a problem anymore.
Yeah, right. You know,
so there's things like that are happening that people, like delivery of groceries or takeout or all this acceptance of digital communications. I was talking to Matthew Sweezy the other day, author of Context Marketing Revolution, and he was talking about how about 10 years ago, his dad called him, and it was about 10 years ago, a little bit more. He called up young Matthew. He called up and said, Matthew, I need you to look up a phone number for me. And his dad thought that Matthew would have a big Yellow Pages right there on his desk, you know. Uh-huh. And for the younger listeners, there was a time when all the telephone numbers were printed in a book and it was distributed.
For people that are 30 years younger than me.
That's right. Yeah. don't get me started on the old phonograph. So Matthew kind of rolls his eyes and says, okay, Dad, what can I help you with? And Matthew didn't have a phone book then, but he was on his computer and he looked it up and it was, you know, it was just a matter of seconds. And his dad said, how did you get that number so quickly? Because he thought he was going to hear his son, you know, kind of rustling
flipping through.
Yeah, the yellow pages or the phone book. And he said, Google. And he said, his dad said, what is this Google thing I keep hearing about? Well, so his dad never went online. It's just, it wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, his dad contacted him and said, Matthew, son, you're going to be so proud of me. I'm doing FaceTime with my Bible study groups. He didn't even know his dad had a phone. He didn't know his dad had a computer. So he talked about that's a great example of how the digital adoption has come in such a short amount of time. And it's there's other kinds of adoptions going through other industries like, education. That's gonna we're going to start seeing more about how that's getting changed, but also even healthcare. So,
it's really true. And even in, you know, in our personal lives, like, you know, the Bible study doing FaceTime is a great example. My son is actually doing a Bible study with some buddies, over Zoom, I guess, or something. And, but you know, so this is an interesting, kind of personal story. So, I went to college up in Boston. And so most of my college friends are in the Northeast and, you know, I'm not physically near them. We, you know, we're on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, but I don't talk to them very much. Well, now, all of a sudden, now that we're in the pandemic, we're doing Zoom happy hours, and so I get to see them more, which has been awesome. And then I knew one of my friends from college was a really successful fitness instructor, and when the pandemic hit, she took her classes online. Well, now I'm doing her classes, and her name is Kelly Sullivan. You can find her on Instagram. She's a fabulous fitness instructor. I hop on Zoom in my backyard with my laptop and my dumbbells and mat, and there's Kelly, and we're doing a great workout.
Oh, well, we'll have to include whatever links we can in your episode show notes at marketingforcouples.com.
Yeah, cool. Oh, she would love it.
Yeah.
Anything to help, you know, these people out like her who are really having to completely transform how they do their jobs.
Yeah, you know, but you know, I'm so proud of people like that.
Me too.
I was talking to Joseph Jaffe in this series, and he was talking about his sister who was in London. She had a spin studio. Well, suddenly nobody could go to the studio. So as I understood it, she then reached out to their customers because they know who all their customers are. And they say, would anyone like to lease or rent our equipment until we can all bring it back.
Yeah.
And it sounded like almost immediately, as soon as they could get all their equipment on trucks, people were saying, yes, please bring me one. Please bring me
one. No doubt.
And then they were doing everything online. So I hear stories like that and I'm very encouraged and I'm just so impressed and kind of reassured by the resiliency of so many people. So
I agree. Yeah.
So Rebecca Geyer, what have you been doing to keep yourself entertained during this pandemic? Because it sounds like it's all work.
I know. Well, and my husband last night pulled me away much later than he should have had to. And said, come on, let me make you a Bacardi. Come sit outside.
Just so the listener knows, that's all it really takes with Rebecca.
Yeah, it's easy. Just bring me a Bacardi and I'll be there. But anyway,
this show is underwritten by the Bacardi Spirits Company.
That's right. And I have tried other rums and I have to say I'm really a snob. I'm a Bacardi girl.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, we're fortunate we have a place about an hour west of here in the hill country. And we're on a river. And so we've been going out there a lot and a lot of open space. Still not as many cases out there. So it's not as kind of cracked down, but still people are, you know, really careful. But that's really nice to get away there. You know, another thing I've been trying to do, my dad, I'm really close with my dad. He's a cool guy.
You dedicated your book to him, didn't you?
I did dedicate my book to him. And I was just got to be with him on Father's Day. So I've been trying to go down there. It's amazing how this has affected different people. people, and in particular, I think the elderly, you know, they're you can't visit them as much. They have to be kind of it's really messed with their routine. And that's certainly the case with my dad. So my dad is a social butterfly. He loves happy hour is every day with and his dad. His name is Joe Bob.
Oh, well, let's get him on the line here.
Right. So I know, really. So you know, not being able to socialize and play golf, and then he loves sports, and sports are not on right now. So I've been trying to go down and see him more. And so that's been fun. And then, just writing, trying to get this bleep textbook done.
Well, I hope it's a good textbook, or I hope it's well received. I'm sure it'll be good. And hopefully it'll pay dividends for a long time, because I've interviewed a few authors who have written textbooks, and they've been very successful. So plus it seems like a new topic.
Yeah, a new topic. And then in the technical space. And interestingly, I was surprised to find out there's actually not a research-based textbook on content marketing. So Wiley, or IEEE Wiley, is the publisher, and we're supposed to have our manuscript in it later this fall. So
that's a connection of IEEE and Wiley?
Right, right.
Oh, interesting.
They have a professional engineering communicators, I think I'm going to get that right, series that we'll be plugging into. So it's an existing, pretty well-established and well-known series, and we'll be plugging into that with this textbook. So yeah, we're excited. And when I'm not writing and doing all those things, my husband is retired and he's a musician. So he's actually held a couple of, he's held one so far. A couple of them have been just for the family, but him and his bandmate did a live concert on our front porch for our whole neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
And that was super fun.
Is there a video of it that exists?
I do have a video.
Could we include that in your show notes?
Sure. Oh my gosh. Tim would be over the moon.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like him. Okay.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
I like that guy you married. I had a good time meeting him in Cleveland.
That's right. In Cleveland. Yeah. 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 Good.
Well, so before we go, I do have to pay respect and beg forgiveness from Brody Dorland. His company is Divi HQ. I don't know why I couldn't remember
that. Well, you know, I was going to say that because I actually just listened to one of his webinars a couple weeks ago with Robert Rose. So,
okay. Yeah, that's right.
He's doing a series of webinars right now, and I highly recommend them. I'm sure they're archived now, you know, for that people can go up and listen to them recorded. But I listened to the one with Robert, and then I meant to listen to the third one, and I ended up getting sidetracked and I didn't get back to it. So that's actually on my list.
Oh, good. Well, so Divi HQ, DIVVYHQ.com. Yeah. And because I got the website up here, because obviously I couldn't remember that, it's a sort of a project management tool that is very helpful for, it's specifically tailored for managing the processes of content strategy and editorial planning and creative production. So no wonder he was at Content Marketing World. So we'll make sure to include a link to those folks, and you can try it for free. It's a cool tool. I just hadn't been using it, but that's when I met Brody, and it was a great part of the discussion.
And when I met Brody too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was a lot of meeting going on that day in Cleveland.
I know.
And I know. It was a happy day. So Rebecca, where can people keep up with what you're doing and writing and thinking?
Well, so, you know,
you mentioned the website.
I'm at chemvm.com. So that's the new company. We're in beta. So if any of your listeners are chemical manufacturers, they can check that out. but then my personal company is called Rive, R-I-V-E, and anyone can contact me there as well at rivevisor.com.
Okay. We'll include a link to both. Well, listen,
super.
Rebecca Geyer,
Douglas,
it was special for me to be able to catch up with you, because you're one of those authors that I kind of feel like we become friends, you know?
I know.
And I've really enjoyed it.
Miss seeing you. And I just hope that we get to be back together physically, and you can buy me a Bacardi.
Yes. Yes. Well, in the meantime, maybe I better just have a shipment sit.
No, don't. It'll be gone. I need to ration myself.
Okay. But it's been great. I appreciate you coming back to this special edition of the Marketing Book Podcast, Authors in Quarantine Getting Cocktails. And I hope that you and Tim and your children and everyone in your world, including your dad and your family, continue to stay healthy and safe.
Thank you. You as well.